You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. A cooking legend is coming to Milwaukee on Saturday, Lydia Bastianich. In addition to her Emmy Award-winning public television program, she's the owner of several restaurants, including Italy, Felidia, Beko, and more.
She's also the author of 10 cookbooks. The newest is called Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine, Everything You Need to Know to Be a Great Italian Cook. Lydia's with us now to talk about the book and her event in Milwaukee tomorrow.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about cooking Italian food? What's your favorite Italian dish to make? And if you have some Italian in your background, what do you go to? Do you have those old family recipes that you turn to? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lydia Bastianich is host of Lydia's Italy on PBS. Lydia, welcome back to Central Time.
Buongiorno, Rob and Veronica.
Well, this is your 10th cookbook. What sets this one apart from the others you've written before?
This one, it's special in a sense that it has a collection of things that I want to leave for my family as my life in cooking. I've been cooking for 40 years, and along the way, I learned a lot. There were a lot of people that shared with me tips, ideas, recipes, and I collected and I store these things. Some of these things I stored in my mind, some in the computer, some in the folder. Well, it was time to kind of pull out that folder. And it took me 3 years, actually, to pull it all together with the help of my daughter, Tanya. And it has kind of my heart, soul, my philosophy of food. It has more than 400 recipes. It has a glossary in the back, an extensive glossary. It has all the things that I think I wanted to tell and leave in somebody's reference library in the kitchen. It's a book that I hope will transcend generations and families, and it's done with lots of love.
So this was a cookbook that was written with your daughter, and you also said it's a lot of what you wanted to pass on. Does that mean there's a lot of family in this recipe book?
Well, there is the philosophy. You know, it doesn't mean that I, yes, it is. It's recipes that we love as family. It is stories about family. This story is how I evolved in cooking, you know, and that takes me back to my grandmother's garden and animals and how I work with her. And I have developed this kind of connection to food. And it takes me up to the present, you know, the immigration process, the coming to America, then with my children, growing them in the restaurant business, sending them off to not want to do this, and ultimately they both came back and work with me. So it's a whole it's a biographical trip through food recipes, techniques. I think that's more important. You know, I weed in some stories and kind of the my life in cooking, but there's a lot of techniques. I address a lot of maybe vegetables and fruits that are not used, that are Italian, that are not used much. So I kind of want to make it easier for the cook. How to clean an artichoke? What are cartoons? How can I substitute one fish for another in one of those recipes? I don't know. It's I can go on and on. It's techniques. I talk all about the techniques of baking, roasting, steaming, dry roasting, wet roasting, and what's better for what. You know, a simple thing like the oven. And, I want to bring the common sense in a lot of people as far as, you know, a lot of people know a lot about food, but they think they don't. You know, like the oven, the different parts of the oven, the middle, of course, roasts well. The top, if you want everything nice and crispy. On the bottom, you put your roast if you have too much gravy and you want to dense it up. Simple things like that, and yet I think, it's a message that really kind of eases people into cooking.
Talking to Lydia Bastianich. She is on her way to Milwaukee tomorrow. Her new cookbook is Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine. We're going to get into those techniques in a bit, Lydia, but I wanted to ask, you know, for everybody, food is part of who we are, and it seems like for you, food and cooking is a huge part of who you are. How did you develop this passion for cooking?
I share part of that. Rob, I guess I have to go a little bit into the history. I was born in an area, Istria. Istria is a little peninsula. So if you look in at Italy, in the right-hand side corner, Italy has 20 regions. It's Friuli Venezia Giulia. And that region also had Istria in part of Dalmatia. But after World War II, Italy lost the war, and Istria was given to the newly formed communist Yugoslavia. Now, I was born in Pola then, now Pula, Istria. And now, when I go back, it is Croatia. But I was just born after World War II, and we got caught behind the Iron Curtain in communist Yugoslavia. And there, life kind of had changed drastically, you know, because we couldn't speak Italian, we couldn't go to church, and my mother was a teacher, and she was kind of watched. So my mother set my brother and myself with Grandma in a little town outside. And Grandma had this idyllic, you know, I still go back to that courtyard. She had a courtyard. And in this courtyard, you know, there were her sister and Grandpa's sister, and so the whole family was around. But also you went a little bit into the woods, and there were the pens, the animal pens. We had chickens, we had ducks, we had rabbits, we had pigs, we had goats. And then, of course, on the other side was the whole garden, and, you know, the seasonality of the garden. I helped with that, you know, from the gathering the peas, the beans, the ripe figs, to the potatoes. We even harvested wheat. They grew wheat, and we went to the mill for our flour. Grandma and Grandpa made olive oil, wine. So I grew up like a little runner for Grandma and Grandpa in this beautiful setting of food. You know, potatoes. I would help her harvest the potatoes, and I can still feel it warm from the earth, you know, because the earth under the sun gets nice and warm, and the potatoes. So these kind of bread, just freshly made bread dunked in the oil still running down when they were pressing it. So, you know, that's where I got my kind of reference library of flavors and passion and understanding of food. But then, you know, the idyllic situations always change. About 10 years later, my parents decided that, you know, they could no longer raise us under those conditions. And we literally escaped back into Italy. Now, my mother, my brother, and I, they allowed us, but they wouldn't allow the whole family, and my father had to escape. We all met in Italy, and, you know, I didn't know I wasn't going back. So I had not said goodbye to Grandma or to anybody, and I think that kind of unfinished business is what connected me. You know, because a lot of times I thought about it, and this only kind of, I figured it out maybe about 10 years ago. I think that unfinished business is what tied me to food. And food for me was a continuous connection to Grandma, to that courtyard. And I loved cooking. I loved smelling, because that brought me back to that place. I think like a lot of people, you know, when they smell food, it makes them feel comfortable and makes them think of home, especially if it is. So I think that my passion for food was really that visceral, that basic. And then I carried it on my whole life.
Wow. So when you're cooking today, you still got that connection. You're thinking all the way back to your grandparents' courtyard and the food that you ate then.
Absolutely, the certain flavors. And I kind of, when I cook, I try to capture from my memories those flavors, those pristine flavors that I recall there. Do I capture them now and then? I think I do. But yes, it's the memory, and it's going back. But you know what, Veronica, also, those were kind of days that were lean days. And what I was also, I thought was the respect of food, the respect, you know, when my mother, when my grandmother kind of wrung the neck of a chicken, every part of the chicken was used, you know, the feet, the head, the innards. And so a real respect for food, not wasting, respect for the animals, you know. Yes, ultimately they become our food, but, you know, you need to respect for the sacrifice that they make. So, you know, it's a whole one after another. I think that's where my basis lies. And my philosophy about food and what we do is, yes, cooking and flavors, but it goes beyond.
Well, Lydia, let's put that philosophy into action and get a taste of the food now. We have a recipe from your new book. It's posted, by the way, on our Central Time Facebook page. Forgive my pronunciation. Orecchiette with clams
Orecchiette.
And zucchini. Orecchiette.
Orecchiette.
Okay.
Orecchiette, we're going down now to the heel of Italy, which is Puglia. And orecchia is the ear. And this little pasta, which is made from durum wheat, is kind of you roll the dough, and then you make like a little round, and you stretch it with your thumb on a wooden board, and it becomes like a rough earlobe. And so the orecchiette is the pasta, and the rougher it is, the better it is, you know, because pasta, when it's rough, it's great. And then the recipe is rather simple. So we're talking about clam sauce, which is, you know, a quintessentially Italian recipe, southern Italian. I added a little bit of zucchini here. I thought that, you know, in these days, this is one, because this book has over 400 recipes. And the recipes are from traditional regional Italian recipes, but there are also recipes of the Italian American cuisine, because when I came to America, I got into that one. But there's also some recipes that I innovated to make them more contemporary. And this is one of those recipes. In today, when we are all so concerned, we love pasta, we all love pasta, but we want to eat less of it. So if we increase, if we add vegetable to it, if we increase proteins to it, we can make this pasta, still enjoy it, eat maybe less pasta, the ratio of pasta to proteins to vegetable about the same. And this is one of those simple recipe that does just that.
We're talking to Lydia Bastianic now about her latest cookbook. It's called Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine. We've got that recipe up on the Central Time Facebook page. She's got an event tomorrow in Milwaukee.
And we're taking your calls now at 800-642-1234. What do you think makes an Italian dish authentic? And what is your favorite Italian dish to prepare? What did you learn from your grandparents or your grandparents about cooking, about food, and what are you doing to pass on that love? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up our discussion now with Lydia Bastianic. She's the author of Mastering the Art of Italian Cooking.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about Italian cooking? What is your favorite Italian dish to make or to eat? Is this part of your family's heritage? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post and find a recipe, by the way, from Lydia on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go to our callers now. We have Julianne on the line from Southwest Wisconsin. Julianne, hi.
Hi. I'm really thrilled to be able to talk with Lydia on the radio. She's one of my favorite chefs to watch on public television.
Thanks, Julianne.
What's your question, Julianne?
I've been hearing a lot of things in the last year or so about olive oils and whether or not the olive oils that we get are really what they say they are. And I'm just wondering what Lydia could suggest as far as how important that is.
Thank you so much for that question. Yeah, I've been hearing that too, that they're often cut with different olive oils, different oils that aren't olive, that may not be pure. What do you know about that one, Lydia?
Julian, you know, olive oil is, olives are grown around the world in the temperate zone. And I think that, you know, certainly a well-informed consumer, that means reading the labels. But what are you looking for? Now, olive oil, and I can talk about Italian olive oil, certainly. Olive oil, if you look on the label, it needs to say, if it is 100% Italian, produced in Italy, produced and bottled in Italy, not just bottled in Italy, because then you leave it open. So the produced product of Italy, those are the terminologies that you need to look for. So if it's a back bottle, packaged in Italy or whatever, it's open for all kinds of interpretations and additions. How you judge olive oil? Olive oil is judged by its oleic acid. So from the quality of olive oil. So if you buy an extra virgin olive oil, that means that the oleic acid in that olive oil is from 1 to 0, and that's the best. Then you go to virgin olive oil, it's from 0 to 2. So that's next. And then if it's just regular olive oil, then it's more of the, you know, sort of the oleic acid. So you want to look for the extra virgin or virgin. You want to look that it is a product grown, produced in Italy. And as far as Italian wines, what you, oils, what you also want to look that makes a good oil is cold pressing. Now, just like wine, you know, flavor molecules attach kind of, you know, to molecules, to fat. And when you add heat to it, the molecules expand and the flavor noise escape. So you lose flavor in wine and even in oil if it's not a cold pressed or a cold fermentation. Just like when you cook in the kitchen, you get these great smells. That's because, you know, the molecules expand, the flavor noise escape, and you smell it good. So you want cold pressed on the bottle itself. Now, as far as Italy, again, there's 20 regions, and every region produces olive oil. How do you choose? Well, the best thing is really to taste and what is good for your palate. But I can generalize somewhat. North Italy, Liguria, or the Lake region, a very buttery oil, light oil. You go in the center, Umbria, Tuscany, a peppery oil. It kind of, when you goes down the throat, there's a kind of a peppery feeling. Mm-hmm. And if you go to southern Italy, where there's the Puglia, Sicily, and all that, a very vegetal oil. That's a very general kind of collection of what oils in Italy taste. So you want to look for the extra virgin. And oil is expensive. Do not buy, if you're buying the expensive oil, a big amount, because olive oil oxidizes quickly. That's why it's good for us. It's an antioxidant because it takes in oxygen. So if you buy a quart of good oil, and you're going to pay quite a bit if you get the extra virgin cold press from a producer in one of these regions, a small producer that you can trust, you're going to pay quite a bit. So it's better to buy smaller bottles, keep it in a dry, cool, dark place, and keep it, if you do buy a larger amount, put it in smaller bottles where oxygen will not have access to it, so it won't oxidize on you.
All right, some good advice.
I hope that helps you.
Definitely. Good luck, Julian. I hope that helps. We're talking to Lydia Bastianich on Food Friday today. We'll go to another caller now. Lisa is with us in Oconomowoc. Lisa, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lydia.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I want to welcome you to Milwaukee. But first of all, just want to tell you that my family has enjoyed watching your cooking show so much. It feels like just we are in your kitchen, and you have schooled me so much from a humble cook from the Midwest to somebody who really models you. I even copy your line just like that.
And Lisa, you have a question for Lydia, I understand.
Yes, Lydia. I wanted to know, what is the difference between iodized salt and sea salt? You're always using sea salt, and I wondered if it's something we should all be investing in.
Lisa, well, thanks.
Salt has its base in the sea, whether it's iodized or not. It's always sea salt, and it's harvested two ways. It is harvested by dehydrating seawater directly, and then that means just evaporating the water part and leaving the salt crystals to be our salt. Or it could be also mined, but that's still, even if it's mined, it's from the sea. At some point, it was deposited there. Now, iodine is naturally existent in sea and hence in the sea salt. But as big industry would have it, they take the salt, they purify it, they change it molecularly so it doesn't stick, and they deplete it of all of its, if you will, flavors, because if you dehydrate directly the water from the sea, within that, those crystals are little algae particles or little minuscule crustaceans and all of that. That's why sometimes you have gray salt, sometimes you have pink salts, because within that water that has dried, these little particles remain. Now, big industry again purifies all of that out, takes out the iodine, and then re-puts it in once they're finished with taking it out. So if you take straight salt from the sea that hasn't been purified and passed through, you're made in fine particles or whatever, you get the iodine naturally in there. They don't need to add the iodine to it.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Lydia, thank you so very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you to everybody.
That was Lydia Bastianich. She's the host of Lydia's Italy on PBS and the author of 10 cookbooks. Her latest is called Mastering the Art of Italian Cuisine, Everything You Need to Know to Be a Great Italian Cook. And you can find a link to her recipe for orecchiette with clams and zucchini on the Central Time Facebook page. And you can also catch her at the Pabst Theater tomorrow night in Milwaukee.